Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Community Platform. Marriage, does it need redefining? What do we actually mean by marriage? We are living in changing times, changing values. Some will go as far as to say we're living in a very aggressive secular world. Why do we need a marriage in the first place? Divorce rate is very high. And of course, recently we have seen a single-sex bill passed in UK, allowing, or certainly in certain areas, allowing single-sex marriages to take place. How would that affect the Muslim community? Is that any of our business in the first place? I mean, nobody's forcing people to actually perform a single-sex marriage. So where's the problem? I'm delighted to have Maulana Habibur Rahman today. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Sahab.
Wa assalamu alaikum.
Maulana Sahab, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to come back to you, and I want to ask you the concept of marriage in Islam. What does it really mean? Assalamu alaikum, Mazhar Bhai.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It's been a long time. In fact, this is our first program in 2013, I think.
Or is it the second? I believe so.
It
I
is.
I think it's the first one.
A belated good new year, I would say.
Well, my new year started in Muharram.
Of course, I was expecting that. Maulana Sahab, bataiye. What do we mean by marriage? We call it nikah, I think. And from my understanding is that there's a higher authority that dictates how people are married. Tell me something about that.
Yeah. So, nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Sabse pehle to main Allah Ta'ala ki tareef karta hoon. جس نے فضل اور احسان فرمایا کہ ہم یہاں پہ ہیں کسی اسلامی موضوع پر گفتگو کرنے کے لیے. اسلام انتہائی خوبصورت اور قابل عمل دین, اور یہ کیسے ہو سکتا ہے کہ نکاح جیسا اہم فریضہ, نکاح جیسا اہم عبادت, وہ اس کے بارے میں اسلام کی تعلیمات نہ ہو. اٹ از امپاسبل. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جو شارے ہیں اسلام کے, انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اسلام کے چارے ہیں, چارے مین تشریح کرنے والے دین کی. قرآن پاک اللہ تعالیٰ کی ذات نے اتارا, بعد میں حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے اپنی سنت کے ذریعے اس کی تشریح فرمائی. نکاح کے بارے میں حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کا فرمان ہے, ان نکاح من سنتی, نکاح میری اہم سنت ہے. ایک اور روایت کے اندر فرمایا کہ فمن راغب عن سنتی فلیس منی, جو میری سنت سے اعراض کرے وہ مجھ سے نہیں. ظاہر ہے مثال کے طور پر, اب یہ نکاح جو ہے یہ ہر ایک شخص کو جو نکاح کی استطاعت رکھتا ہے, استطاعت سے مراد میڈیکلی بھی اور مالی لحاظ سے بھی,
both financially and psychologically,
اور and he can pay the rights of each other.
So okay, I understand as far as that. So it is ordained.
Ordained. Yeah, yeah.
So we have guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, فَانْكِهُ مَا تَعْبَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَسْنَا وَسُلَاسَ وَرُبَاءِ. Where condition permits you can marry 2, 2, 3, 3, and 4. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a very beautiful message of Islam. Islam says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. If you are having fear that you can't make justice, then one is sufficient for you.
I wouldn't go there at the moment. Let me bring you back just slightly, Maulana Sahab. Yeah. So nikah is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Okay? So usme to, we cannot make changes in that.
No, we
because
can't.
What is ordained in Sharia by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be changed by any human.
MashaAllah.
And a marriage is between a man and a woman.
And a woman.
That is absolutely explicit.
Yeah.
Theek? Okay, let me...
Now about choosing the partner, shall I explain or...
Well, I mean, I think the point we were trying to make is that it is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can be no changes in anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders.
Yeah.
The Sharia cannot be changed.
Usme sirf ek do istisna hai. Misal ke taur par ek aadmi jo hai medically fit nahi. It's not ordained for him. Okay?
Sure.
Aur isi tarah koi sister, usko koi gani problem hai, she cannot produce child. Okay? She can consult with someone who she or someone like her. Ke bhai mere andar ye kami hai. If you like, it's okay.
But the marriage is still between a man and a woman.
Exactly.
Right. That never. Is explicit.
Yeah.
That cannot be moved.
Never, never.
Jazakallah khair. Majid, what's the problem then? Here you have explicitly, as Maulana Sahib said, marriage is between man and a woman. So if people are wanting to get married, what's it got to do with us? Where's the problem?
I don't know why people who are of a homosexual tendency want to get married, because marriage actually is rooted in scripture. And marriage itself originated from the time of Adam alayhi salam when he got his sons married. And this is where it was institutionalized. So, and these are remnants of scripture which remain in Western society. So why homosexual people want to get married, I don't know. Because it's got a specific purpose in creating children, creating family life, social life, etc., etc. But the question you ask me is, what's the problem? The problem is manifold, because if society drifts in the way it is drifting, right, and what was once considered crime and filth is considered normal, then where do you draw the line? How does society function? Because if we continue like this, there will be a breakdown of society where nothing is considered right, nothing is considered wrong, nothing is considered sacred, and freedom will take us to a jungle scenario. Because the only model of real freedom you find in the world is in the jungle, where animals do whatever they like. And if we take freedom to its natural conclusion, then basically we are calling for Western societies to become like jungles.
Yeah, but the problem is that the... let's go back to the bill that's recently been passed in Parliament. And it's a bill, it's not a law at the moment. There's still the first stage. There were Muslim MPs who have voted for it. Are you telling me that these people were not aware? I mean, they do not understand?
Unbelievable.
But it is a fact, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
First of all, there's no such thing as Muslim MPs.
Right? Okay, sorry.
There's no such thing as Muslim. There's Labour MPs, there's Tory MPs, there's Lib Dem MPs, there's Respect MPs. When an MP joins a party, they represent that party. They don't represent Islam. None of these people who went into the elections said, we are campaigning on behalf of Islam. Because if you become an MP, you represent the atheist, the Hindu, everybody. So you can't go on an Islamic platform.
So what happened to your... I understand
that's just nonsense. That's
point
just
taken,
bogus.
I'll take back my question. Let me that's rephrase bogus. That.
So those people who are Muslims and are MPs, right? The point is, if we look at the MPs, there was about eight of them.
Eight.
Five of them voted for it, I believe, and three abstained.
Abstained.
Now the point is, this goes to show that something which is clear-cut forbidden in Islam, there's no ikhtilaf. Whichever school of thought you come from in Islam, there is no disagreement on this matter. So what they have done is beyond the pale, number one. Number two, it just goes to show that when you enter into politics, it is a career decision like working in a bank. It's like working in a bank.
So you compromise on your faith.
They compromise on their faith and they will do whatever to go up the greasy pole. So when Sadiq Khan... and Salma Yaqub, they have openly said that we believe in this and we believe that this is about equal rights. No, Islam discriminates against right and wrong. Islam doesn't give equal right to right and wrong. Islam discriminates against right and wrong. And I'm not going to apologize for saying that, because there is haq and there is batil, and Islam The Quran is called the Furqan, the criteria to distinguish between the right and wrong. So there is no equal right between right and wrong.
What are the, Malana Sahab, Mazhar has said very explicitly that, and you have said that, Islam forbids certain acts which cannot be changed.
Of course.
To tell me something, how are Ulama Karam, people like you, addressing this situation, explaining to our young people? Because I spoke to many young people, I also spoke to not so young people, and I was quite surprised that many of them said, well, it's not our problem, you know, and people want to get married, that's fine. Is this your responsibility to explain to your congregation?
Of course. It is the responsibility of the people who are having those responsibility to tell Allah's deen, to Allah's creation. It is their responsibility to explain each and everything. Jaise main kai dafa maine kaha ke hamare paas ek Allah, ek Rasool, ek Kitab, ek Qibla aur ek Adam ki hum aulad hain alaihi salatu wassalam. So why not we united? Muslimanon ke darmiyan itni denomination jo hai, ye mujhe ye batati hai ke musliman jo hai na wo kitabullah aur sunnat e rasool se zarur kahin na kahin gadbad hai, wo explain nahi kar rahe.
Are you explaining in your khutbah?
I am definitely.
You're talking about
it
in your khutbah.
Yes.
I'm going to come and listen to one of your khutbahs.
You are most welcome.
I will. Mazhar?
Yes.
The fact is that if two people who are really happy, they want to live together, they're not asking the Muslims that they have to be married in the mosques or in the churches. They just said that we want to be married.
Look, you know, this goes to the crux of a very important point here. And this is issue about what is right, what is wrong.
Now, yeah, but that's what you're saying, aren't you?
No, but if something is prevalent in society, you know, as they say, what goes around comes around. You are polluting the pot we all live in.
Yeah, but they don't see it as pollution, do they?
Okay. The thing is this now, if you scrutinize some of these principles which they claim to base these ideas upon, right? And this is what needs to be addressed. It's enough telling the Muslim is haram because majority of the Muslims believe it's haram. But there's a huge number of Muslims that don't go to madrasa, don't go to the masajid, don't listen to the khutbah, don't read Islamic books, have no little or very little Islamic knowledge, and they are being won over by this argument that it's all about equality. The point is this, kufr is contradictory in its very nature. So when they say, number one, if two consenting adults agree amongst themselves what to do, what's it got to do with anybody else? If you truly believe in that, what about an adult man, 18-year-old, who wants to get married to his divorced mother? Is that legal? No, it's not. It's illegal. Two consenting adults. If, for example, a man wants to get married to two women, both consenting, is that allowed? No, it's not. So this whole argument about consenting adults is really bogus because they do actually draw a line there as well. So the question is, who has the right to draw the lines?
Well, I think the line has been drawn. Let's take this our first caller of the day, Mr. Iqbal from London. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Iqbal bhai, assalamu alaikum. You're from London.
Yes, Muhammad Iqbal from London, yeah. Can I make some comments, inshallah? I think first and foremost, you have to look at the debate through paradigms and frameworks. We are Muslims, and the Sharia of Allah, which is the paradigm for all human beings, says that homosexuality is haram. Yeah? And the ulama only differ in terms of the had. Is it had or no had? But they agree that this is one of the kaba'ir sins. And this is how we see as Muslims, and it will never change for us, because it is set in the Quran Kareem, and it's set in the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For us, the paradigm is established and shifted. However, we need to appreciate this, that we live in a non-Islamic realm. Hence, their paradigms change. In 1967, it was still illegal in this country to do homosexual acts. You could get arrested for it. One of the most famous individuals, Alan Turing, who was the individual who came up with the Enigma machine, was prosecuted for having homosexual tendencies. He was injected with injections to make him more masculine because he's homosexual. This is how these people were 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Their paradigms change, right? But we don't change. The fact that we need to appreciate as Muslims is we need to give these people da'wah to make them understand the way of Allah. But before we do that, we need to understand that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once one appreciates Allah, he then understands the ahkams of Allah. He may not agree, he may not disagree, but he knows this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no disagreement in that sense. So we have to appreciate we're in the Western world, and in the Western world they can do whatever they want. Take the brother's argument further in terms of Cyprian Strong he's trying to argue. 40 years later, How do we know it won't change? You can marry your mother, or you can even have sexual relations with an animal, and bestiality could be in marriage. This is what the kind of society we're living in. But we need to be very careful as Muslims in terms of what kind of dawah we're going to give to these people and what we're going to do. Because the fact is, we can argue amongst ourselves and this and that. It doesn't really matter. Islam says one thing, the kuffar are doing something else. But the fact is, you know, we have to khair these people. We have to bring them to khair, to tawheed, and then to the sharia of Islam.
We need to
focus on that issue first and foremost with these people, rather than, you know, say, oh, well, what should we do as Muslims? What's the definition? We need to educate our people.
Iqbal Bhai, let me ask you a question. How do we bring these people to understand where we're coming from when you have people from our own faith background voting for the legislation?
Well, if Muslims are voting, i.e. the MPs you're talking about here, but the fact is, at the end of the day, are these practicing Muslims? Do they understand their Islam? Do they understand their theology, their philosophy, their jurisprudence? I doubt it. As the brother said earlier, these people are career-minded individuals. They went into this with the sake of doing careers. They are, to use a phrase, I apologize, they are nothing more than, you know, what we'd call a coconut as such, right? So these are different individuals. The fact is, what is Islam saying? Not Muslims, Islam saying. Now, if you want to give these people da'wah, it's to tawheed, right? And then the risalat and then the akhirat. When they appreciate these concepts, then the sharia fall upon them. Then they will understand everything in terms of zina, the issue of, you know, in terms of, you know, hudud and so on and so forth. So we need to bring that mass dawah to these people as such. But we can appreciate we are on the kuffar land.
Just hold on, don't go. And I think Mazhar Bhai, you wanted to talk.
I think the caller makes an interesting point. He talks about 1967. Up till 1967, homosexuality was a crime in this country. Mm. Within two, three, four decades, it's now promoted as equal rights. The point is, the problem here is about liberal values, because what allowed that to happen are the same values which will allow legalization of paedophilia. And people think, oh, but don't say that. That's never going to happen. No. 40 years ago, people said that this is never going to happen. Nobody in the 60s ever believed that man and man could get married. Harriet Harman, mainstream politician, mainstream party. She was part of a lobby group or a group called Liberty. And they called...
Can you just stop it there? Because Brother Abdul, if you need to comment, you need to come in. Otherwise, thank you very much for your comments. Go on. Okay. Sorry.
Harriet Harman, mainstream politician, mainstream party, said... The age of consent should be abolished, meaning the border between paedophilia and adults would be removed. And this group, Liberty, said the only reason we don't want to abolish the age is not because we don't believe in it. We believe it should be abolished, but public opinion will not tolerate it, so we should reduce it down to 15, 14, but with the objective of removing it. And she got a bit of flak for that. But this is what mainstream people are saying. Peter Tatchell, the head of the homosexual lobby group, Outrage, he's, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote a book about paedophilia does not damage children. It doesn't. I heard an expert on Radio 4 last year saying that paedophiles are born that way. So now the gates are opening on this one. Mm-hmm. So the gates are wide open on homosexuality. Now the gates are opening on paedophilia. Where does it end? Today, in Germany, it is legal for a man to have a relationship with a horse. For a man to have a relationship with a horse. And you might think, how can that happen? It's legal at this point in time. Now, the question is this. How did they get there? Is because man legislates. When man legislates, he can make everything halal and he can make everything haram because he's got no basis. And if you want to hear a rational argument how they can legalize paedophilia, ask me and I'll present it to you.
I think I'll do the next program. I'm quite shocked at the moment as it is.
Let me... Well, you're not going to ask me. I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay. If you say...
Oh, yes.
If you say... For example, a man and man can have a relationship. Why? Because they are consenting adults. Then you say, oh, but what about a cow? Maybe a man might want to have a relationship with a cow. They will say, oh, no, but the cow doesn't consent. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. In every court legal code around the world, murder is a bigger crime than rape. Murder is a bigger crime than rape. When you murder a cow to make beef burger or horses in today's time, if you murder a cow to make a beef burger, you don't ask for his consent. So why do you need his consent if you want to rape it for a lesser crime? So you see, if you use the mind, you can legislate and legalize everything you like. That's why this in itself is a proof. Man needs guidance. He needs hidayah. He needs somebody above him to give him rules of what is halal and haram. Because if it's left to us, we will legalize homosexuality, we will legalize pedophilia, we will legalize bestiality, things we can't even imagine today we will legalize. And remember, this is not new. Qawm Lut came generations ago and the whole society was doing it. Mm. It's because something happens, nobody speaks. Something happens, nobody speaks, and it becomes widespread. Mm. So if we think, well, we're not going to do this, look, you're not going to do it, but your children will do it if you don't stop it today.
Yeah.
If you don't stop it today, your children will do it. Just like Qawm Lut, the whole society was consumed in this. Mm. So our ulama, our leaders, our intelligent people need to speak up, not just to the Muslims, but to the non-Muslims, because we are all one humanity.
Mm. Yeah.
What we suffer from, they are going to suffer from, and they are suffering from. And we need to tell them, you know what? God didn't make us for this. God didn't make us for this. But, and we need to speak out.
But we're living in a liberal democracy.
And we need to... Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at his time, his idols were physical idols. Today, our idols are freedom, liberalism, democracy. These are the idols that people worship. Which is why Muslims are now talking about homosexuality being okay because of liberal values. These are the gods that need to be demolished.
Yeah, but... You're talking about dictatorship, aren't you? Because you're dictating your views onto someone else.
No, I'm arguing my views in the same way they're arguing their views. And at the end of the day, everybody is a follower of something. Everybody, every human being is a follower of something. The choice is only two. Either you follow another man and his ideas, or you follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he dictates. Everybody's a slave. You can call yourself free, but you're deluding yourself. You are following some other ideology, some other values, some other person. Everybody is a follower. The choice is you follow man or you follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the message the Sahaba took to the Emperor of Persia.
Yeah.
He says, what do you bring us? He goes, I take you away from the slavery of man to the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. So freedom is a delusion and it doesn't exist.
Maulana sir, if this legislation, this was the first bill, the first reading, I think, I don't know, there's a couple more to go, I'm not too sure. How will this affect our community if this become legalized to say, well, yes, they can get married, it's not a problem.
Both bura.
And you, Nini, you have, you're an imam.
Yeah.
Aapke yahan nikah padhaya jata hai. You have two, Muslims turn up, they want to get married. They're both of the same sex. What are you going to do?
I will never do this. I will never allow this. I would definitely follow Quran and Sunnah. And I will tell them, if first of all you tell me, who do you follow? If they say we are Muslim, then at the same point there will be a question mark. Because Muslim follow Quran and Sunnah. So I will ask them, where is this evidence that you two are doing so and so? You are not allowed under Quran and Sunnah. As Mother Bai very lovely told that everybody has to follow something. You can decide today whether you follow your desires, okay, or you follow this stupid customs, okay, or stupid environment or whatever is the bill is today, it is being passed, or you have to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I guarantee one thing, when we all follow the Lord Almighty's commandment,
but let me stop you there.
Okay.
The people are saying that they are following God. You have your first gay mosque in Paris, right? Now they say that they are following their religion and that they are following to the best of their ability, and people like you are causing the problem.
Okay, then we need to interrogate them. We need to have a dialogue with them.
Dialogue sounds much better than interrogation, Imam Saab.
Yeah, exactly. Dialogue. Yeah.
Sounds much better, I mean. I think. I know you do. I know. I mean. Mazhar Bhai, these are Muslims. You have a first gay mosque in Paris. They say they're Muslims. Who are you to tell them they're not Muslims?
I'm not saying they're not Muslim. I mean, if a Muslim commits a haram, he's committed a haram, but he has an opportunity to repent. But the point is this, why are they committing these the crimes as we would see them from a Muslim perspective? Is because the society we live in have certain values. This society is based on certain values.
Yeah.
And the thing is, day in, day out, in their schools, when they watch TV, they are being given da'wah to this. They are being given da'wah to liberalism. They are being given da'wah to freedom. Every day, they're being bombarded with this, and it has an effect on them. That's why we as Muslims, we need to raise the level of our da'wah. We need to raise the level of our engagement with society. We shouldn't just preach to our own people. We need to preach to a wider community, a wider society. And when we preach to our own people, we need to engage them and we need to build values within them so they can carry the message of Islam. You know, we are not just like, you know, like it used to be in the Christian era, whereby the priests had the domination of the Bible and they would preach the Bible and the lay folk weren't allowed to read the Bible. In Islam, we are all responsible for the deen. Whether we are an alim, whether we are an imam, or whether we're just a common person like myself, you know, we have a responsibility within our abilities to propagate and to invite people to Islam and to explain that these values that they follow are actually flawed. You know, I mean, what if you don't follow Allah, right? You know, said, I am free, I am free. You don't follow Allah, you are not free, you follow animals. Because people are now saying, but it's natural. Some animals show homosexual tendency. Well, excuse me, if you have seen some homosexual tendencies in some primates and in some fishes, is that your God now? Are you going to follow animals? You know, some animals eat their newborn. Are you now going to eat your newborn because it's natural? Some animals lick themselves clean. And that's natural for them. Are you now going to say that's natural and do it yourself? Look, what is natural for a dog is not natural for a pig. And what is natural for a pig is not natural for a human being. So you need guidance. Otherwise, people start to follow animals like people are now using justification for homosexuality.
Let's take this call. Brother Ali from London, assalamu alaikum. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello? Yep.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Okay. I'm sorry. Sister. It's a sister. Ali. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. You're live on Ummah TV. Do you have a question or a comment?
Question.
Okay.
When does marriage take place?
When does marriage take place? Is that your question?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, we'll respond to that. When does our marriage take place? I think
it's very, very beautiful question. It's a very valid question, and these questions must be addressed.
So when is the marriage takes place? I think she was referring about age, maybe.
I can tell. Although it is after the age of puberty, and everybody knows what is age of puberty, but with that, someone must have understanding. Sometimes age of puberty become early, but someone doesn't know what is marriage all about. How do I behave? How I would behave with my wife? And similarly, vice versa, the girl don't know how would I behave with my husband. That's why, because I'm a member of Islamic Sharia Council, London, so lots of cases coming to me. Unfortunately, before we were saying that there is so many marriages being broken in Christian community, but nowadays, this is happening in Muslim community.
Because they don't know what is the responsibility of marriage.
They don't tolerate each other. Forbearance is very, very much reduced. No, we can't forbear with anyone. Just for trivial matters, we get flare up and differences take place, we drift apart.
Sure. Let's take a short break and we'll come back and we'll elaborate on that question again. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away. Come back to us. And the telephone is on the screen. So we'll see you in a couple of minutes. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Community Platform. The subject for today is rather delicate but an important subject. Does marriage need to be redefined? We are unpicking the conversation with reference to the latest bill that has been passed on single-sex marriage and how will that impact the Muslim community. We were saddened to learn that various Labour, Conservative, Liberal, Democrat, whoever they were, MPs, but of Muslim background, voted. The fact is that we need to be aware that there are certain rules and regulations that have been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never be questioned. But let's take this call. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muhtarma, main aapko mubarakbad pesh karta hoon. کہ آپ نے بڑا خوبصورت موضوع رکھا ہے جو مسلمانوں کے مسائل میں اضافہ ہوتا جاتا ہے وہ اضافے کے ساتھ بڑی مشکلات بھی پیدا ہوتی ہیں.
جزاک اللہ خیر.
آپ بڑی دانشوار ہیں, اللہ آپ کی سوچ سما عمل میں اور برکت عطا فرمائے. اصل میں ہماری کمیونٹی میں بہت سارے مسائل ایسے ہیں, میں وہ دو سوال کرنا چاہتا ہوں. ایک وہ ہمارے علاقے خطہ کشمیر میں ایک بابا ایک پہاڑی علاقے میں رہتا تھا, اس سے ایک بزرگ نے سوال کیا کہ میں ایک حج کرنا چاہتا ہوں ایک شادی کرنا چاہتا ہوں. تو اس بزرگ نے فرمایا بیٹا شادی کرنی کوئی مشکل نہیں ہے, شادی کو نبھانا اس کے اخراجات برداشت کرنا یہ مشکل ہے, اور شادی کے جو لازمات ہیں ان کو سمجھنا, اپنے جسم پر اس قانون کو لاگو کرنا اور پھر اس کی ہمیشہ حفاظت کرنا یہ ہے شادی. فرمایا حاجی ہونا کوئی مشکل نہیں, حاج بیٹا کر لو گے, حاج کر کے اس پاک اور مقدس جگہ کو دیکھ کر لوگوں کو لوٹنا نہیں ہے, لوگوں کے ساتھ صلح رحمی, اور تمہاری زبان میں مٹھاس اور لذت ہونی چاہیے, نہ کہ اس طرح لوگوں کے سامنے جس طرح امریکن مسائل جاتے ہیں اس طرح نہ بولنا, لوگوں کے ساتھ صلح رحمی اور لوگوں کے ساتھ پیار اور محبت خلوص سے دل رکھو تاکہ لوگوں کے دلوں کے اندر تمہاری ایک جگہ بیٹھ جائے. تو آج ہماری کمیٹی میں یہ ایک جرم ہے کہ والدین بھی نہیں دیکھتے, مولانا صاحب کا کام ہوتا ہے نکاح پڑھانا, حالانکہ نکاح سے پہلے مولانا صاحب کا کام ہے بیٹی یا بیٹا جو تمہارا نکاح پڑھانے جا رہا ہوں اس کی پروٹیکشن دینی ہے. آپ دونوں نے اس کی حفاظت کرنی ہے, یہ صرف پڑھا کر سیدھا بھاگ جانا نہیں بلکہ نکاح سے پہلے اپنی زبان میں انگلش ہو اردو ہو عربی ہو فارسی ہو اس میں انڈرسٹینڈنگ کرائی جائے تاکہ تمہیں اس کی حفاظت کرنی ہے. یہ نی لیکچر ہوتا ہے تو اس کی وجہ سے بہت ساری بیماریاں پیدا ہوتی ہیں. میں امید کرتا ہوں ہمارے سننے والے ہمارے علماء کرام ہمارے دانشور جو میڈیا کے لوگ ہیں وہ بڑی فراخدلی سے ان باتوں کو لے کر قوم میں ایک اتحاد پیدا کرنے کی کوشش کریں.
بہت بہت شکریہ آپ کا, جزاک اللہ خیر. مولانا صاحب آپ کچھ کہیں؟
میں بالکل ان صاحب کی نام کیا بتایا بارہ جو بھی ہے
ایم خان
میرا خیال ہے یہ اما چینل کے بڑے پرانے کالر ہیں اور ان کو میں جب سنتا ہوں تو ان کی ادھر بھی پروگرام میں کالر ہیں. لیکن ایک بات میں آپ کو بتاؤں, دیکھیں when we refer this matter to sunnah ایک بات ہے, حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نکاح کے وقت خطبہ ارشاد فرماتے تھے. خطبے میں کیا ہوتا تھا؟ یہی وہ باتیں ہیں جو یہ صاحب کہہ رہے ہیں. علماء کرام کا کام ہے کہ اب تم ایک نئے زندگی کے موڑ میں داخل ہو رہے ہو, لڑکا لڑکی, اور میں تو اپنے پرسنل بات کرتا ہوں, میں جب بھی جاتا ہوں تو میں نکاح ماشاء اللہ میں کتنے یہاں پہ پڑھے ہیں بلیک برن میں نیلسن میں, تو میں باقاعدہ یہ کہتا ہوں کہ آپ اندر مائکروفون کا انتظام کریں, میری آواز سسٹر کو بھی جائے اور بردر کے درمیان میں بیٹھا ہوتا ہوں, تو میں یہ کہتا ہوں کہ فرسٹ یو انڈرسٹینڈ وائی دی پروفیسر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یوز ٹو ڈیلیور خطبہ and what was in that khutbah. It was not just few Arabic words. It was telling them, where are you going? What you are going to hold the responsibility? یہی وہ چیز ہے جو ان کو پھر بتاتی ہے کہ ایک بندھن میں ہم بندھنے جا رہے ہیں. اب شادی کے بعد ہماری لائف پہلے جیسی نہیں رہی. لڑکا جو ہے وہ رات کو 2-2 بجے آ رہا ہے, لڑکی جو ہے وہ اپنے فرینڈ کے دو, دے آر مائی کالج یونی فرینڈ.
لیٹس ٹیک دس کال. مولانا صاحب کم. سسٹر رشیدہ فرام لندن, السلام علیکم.
السلام علیکم.
السلام علیکم سسٹر,
کیسے ہیں آپ لوگ؟
اللہ کا شکر, جزاک اللہ خیر.
جی میں بہت ہی متاثر ہوئی ہوں, آپ نے بہت اچھا ٹاپک چھیڑا ہے, اور یہ جو ماشاء اللہ مولانا صاحب بیٹھے ہیں یہ انفیکٹ میرے بھائی جان ہے ماشاء اللہ. السلام علیکم بھائی جان. جی تو میں نے یہی کہنا تھا کہ بہت اچھا آپ نے ٹاپک چھیڑا ہے, اور یہ جو میں کہتی ہوں سب سے پہلے جو ہے نا یوتھ کو نا یہ میں کرانا چاہیے کہ یہ جو اسٹینڈر سوپ اوپرا وغیرہ یہ ہے ان میں کتنی غلط باتیں سکھائی جا رہی ہیں. وہ ایک لڑکا ہے مسلمان ہے اور اس کو ایسے مطلب دکھایا جا رہا ہے کہ وہ لڑکے کے ساتھ مطلب سو این سو جو ہے, تو آپ سمجھ رہی ہیں نا میں کیا آپ کہہ رہی ہوں. تو
میں
مطلب یہ کام ہے نا کہ میں سمجھتی ہوں کہ ہمارے ینگ جنریشن کو نا یہ एक डायरेक्ट टारगेट है हम मुसलमानों पर, ये जो स्टैंडर्ड में जो कुछ दिखाया जा रहा है ना, और नबी करीम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम के मतलब हदीस खोले और कुरान पाक को खोलें तो ये हम सब के लिए एक बेहतरीन नमूना है। अब कुरान पाक में किसी जगह भी इस बात का जिक्र नहीं है। लूत अलैहिस्सलाम की को कौम ने क्या कुछ किया, उन पर अल्लाह की लानत नाजिल हुई, और नबी करीम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की हदीस खोलें तो उसमें कितनी बातें हैं कि हम लोग ना उस पर अमल करें ना। तो बस मैं कहती हूँ कि आप जरूर इस किस्म का जो है ना काम करें कि ये इस चैनल में जो कुछ दिखाया जा रहा है, और इसके अलावा बहुत ज्यादा चीजें हैं जो मीडिया में ना गलत दिखाई जा रही है, गलत निगाह से लोग उसको देख रहे हैं, और मतलब है ये मैं टोटली कंडेम करती हूँ।
बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया आपका बहन। वी लिव इन अ कंट्री वेयर वी हैव द फ्रीडम टू राइट। इफ यू डोंट लाइक सर्टेन प्रोग्राम्स, you can write to them, you can complain. There's Ofcom, that there are certain other organizations, and I think one of the basic problems that we have as a community that we do not always take that initiative. What do you think?
Probably not. And again, it boils down to this fact that when something has entered into the public arena, if it doesn't get checked, it will only grow. And ideas like this are dangerous, and we've already mentioned this point already. If they are not refuted and challenged, they will only grow and they will come to bite us. They will come to bite us. And we've already mentioned the points about homosexuality, what it was and what it is today, and about paedophilia, what it is today and what it will become, and other vile things.
But I just want to come back. I mean, in Netherlands, it was about, I think about 12 years ago that it became legal. It was legalized that same-sex marriage couldn't take place. Is this not a... some evolution that is taking place within Europe, that this is going to happen. It happened 12 years ago in Netherlands. It's legalized, and I think in South Africa and certain other countries, 15 other countries where it's legalized, and it's going to bound to happen in the United Kingdom. Can we really stop? I mean, is there any force that we can utilize to say, we don't need this, we don't want it?
Okay.
Before you begin on that, I'm so sorry. I do apologize, but let's take this call. Brother Yusuf, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Yes. Do you have a question or a statement?
A question.
Okay. Question. Would you like to ask?
Those young people need to get married when they're young.
Say that again. Can you repeat the question again, please?
Does young people need to get married when they're young?
How young?
Yep, about 14.
Right. You've just rung before, haven't you, young man? I recognize your voice. We'll respond to your question. Thank you. Very quickly, Maulana Saab, yeah. I don't want to waste too much time. Can a 14-year-old child get married?
No.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Sorry.
We already discussed about how things have progressed. And this is nothing new, because we've discussed about Qawm Lut. That didn't just happen overnight. You know, where did we start from? We start from Adam alayhi salam, the only man on earth, preaching Tawheed. And then generations later, we come to a point where a whole community is engulfed in this. It didn't happen overnight. It's when thoughts affect society. And this is what shapes the society. The color of society is determined by the values that society holds. And that is what needs to change. So the Quraysh society was shaped by the values of tribalism and worshipping idols. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed these ideas to change those values so a new community could be born on a new set of values. And that's what needs to be addressed. So it's no point just saying it's haram. It's not enough for our kids today. Just to say it's haram is not enough. Most of the Muslims will believe this. But those people out there who don't have no attachment or little attachment to Islam, this is not enough for them. You need to refute their beliefs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to refute the belief in the ideas the Quraysh had. So for example, they used to bury their daughters. So Rasulullah would say sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you make idols with your own hands, you give them the names of females and you say that these are the daughters of Allah. So Allah has daughters, but you don't, bringing out the contradictions.
Context.
context, but bringing out the contradictions. Because if something is kufr, if something is batil, it will have a contradiction within it. You just have to study it and expose that contradiction. So when they talk about, oh, but people are born that way. People are born that way. You can't do anything about it. Well, then there's experts who say that pedophiles are born that way. Some people say that there's the criminal gene. The criminals are criminal because they have the criminal gene. Does that mean you want to legalize all crime? So whether somebody is born that way or not, the point is you do not determine legislation on your whims and desires. You do not determine legislation on your inclination. You need an independent criteria or a criterion. And that is why we have Quran.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.